You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We have Maggie Covell in the studio right now to talk about the Write As Rain exhibition, which is screening or is live at the Dunedin School of Art as we speak. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
Oh, very good. More dinner.
Nice, nice, nice.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Did you have a pretty busy morning this morning?
Oh, pretty crazy, actually.
That's cool.
Considering.
Yeah. Are you keeping tabs on how the exhibition's going?
Yeah, lots of feedback, which is good. Because mm-hmm. I suppose I'm a bit of a maverick, getting people to destroy the artworks and take them off the wall. So, you know.
Is that like a mandala thing for you?
Yeah, a little bit. Like it's kind of something I worked into the projects, like ethical exercise. So it's actions and consequences, mm-hmm. you know. Like you might have permission or consent to do something, but do you think about it or do you act first kind of scenario? Mm-hmm.
I think we'll definitely get into that yarn throughout our kororo here. But first I want to start off with talking about your Writer's Rain exhibit, which is at the Dunedin School of Art on Riego Street. It's one of many sub-projects relating to your Hidden in Plain Sight 3.5-year master's project. How does it feel to be nearing the end?
Oh, really good. You kind of, I was thinking about it the other day. You're just sort of in it for so long and it's all consuming.
Yeah.
Like anyone doing masters or other postgrad stuff will feel the same way. And, but it's always cool, like when someone that doesn't know about it kind of discovers it or gets involved in some way and is just sort of like, oh, cool, yeah, I can make connections and stuff. So that's always a plus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. It's good to have a bit of fresh perspective there because you can get so wrapped up in what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely, you know? Definitely.
Yeah, and it reminds you of why you love doing what you're doing.
You're in a position where like to be able to study and sort of form some research from something that you love is always a win-win.
Mm-hmm. The exhibit is focused on the social impact of the narrative in connection to trauma, mental health and body autonomy. What do you mean by the narrative?
So that's like people's stories,
Okay. Personal
histories. So it's sort of like, I think the biggest things that we face currently in society are, like globally, are like global warming and mental health.
Yeah.
They're big crises. So, I think it's really important that if you have some kind of platform or medium that you can speak up. I mean, I've got lived experience with sort of mental health issues. Because I had participants in the project, there's like a range of experiences. So it's not just one single story. It becomes like a universal story, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's quite beautiful. That's really cool.
Yeah, like it's a lot of managing sort of, I think with these kinds, it's like mental health and trauma and violence and all those sorts of things are really complex.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be talking about them more and discussing them so that those people that are having those experiences aren't feeling so isolated and alienated.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, and that's what sort of the social impact is, just sort of like those kinds of channels, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to spread that through, through in-person interaction, I think is where it works best. Because I think online, like, it's a tricky line to talk about stuff like that online, I think.
Yeah, you know? Yes and no. Like I did utilize social media, and I made like a group on Facebook, which I think is a great structure, and you have access to it, and then you have access as well when people share things. Like I invited women to join this group, and rather than just sharing it through my network, where it becomes friends and people you know, family.
Yeah,
it's like a bigger segment of the community because, you know, you've got a global stage. You're not just kind of stuck in, say, Dunedin, which I think is great, because you get all kinds of perspectives, backgrounds, all that sort of stuff.
For sure. This has been an incredibly long running project, and some listeners will remember when there were a series of really glitchy billboards were covered in text on Union Lawn in 2021. What was the public reaction to that installation? Because if I remember correctly, didn't someone vandalise it?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's
which is absolutely hilarious to me. Like, some people were a bit stressed about it, you know. I'm always interested in how other people behave.
Yeah.
But I just, it just sort of pulled all this focus then onto these billboards that were trashed outside the Otago Museum. And I remember getting all these phone calls from different journalists, like, how do you feel about this? And I was like, Oh, just my biggest thing was I hoped that nobody had been triggered, even though I had tried to manage that as best as possible. But it turned out it's just like random sort of
punters.
Kind of like
just drunk students,
because it was there, it was like an opportunity to like kick it over and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I always think
it's a kind of the code to steal, essentially.
Yeah. And it's just like people get very territorial, what I've found around public spaces.
They feel like they
have this ownership, and it's like, well, it's actually not just for you.
No.
Yeah.
No, totally. Totally agree with that. Yeah. That's really fascinating. The third phase of this project involved a residency at the Faculty of Law at the University of Otago, which involved three revolving shows that used ethical experiments to garner audience participation. What were these experiments, and were there any reactions that you were hoping to achieve with them?
Yeah, it was great. So the art school have had this project between themselves and the Faculty of Law for quite a few years.
That's awesome.
And it's either like a group of artists go in and take over the space over multiple floors, or they have a single artist. And I think mine was the first time they had sort of a project sort of stay in the space for that sort of year period, but also have several shows, which was a great way to test out ideas. So, yeah, I really put them through it. but it was great because they responded just like better than I had expected. And they were having really interesting conversations around artworks and actions and consequences, which is how I was able to refine it for the exhibition now. The biggest thing was I actually asked them to destroy artworks, a series of like chalkboard works. But if they did that, they were contributing to this long history of women's narratives being silenced. So it was a real mind-bending, like, do I do it? Do I take part in it? If I take part in it, am I changing it? All those sorts of scenarios that you have, yeah.
Fascinating. Mm. Was there any kind of final conclusion from that?
Well, I just, from doing that residency, I was able just to really refine things because my project's one of many, it's like constantly evolving, so I've been in public spaces. I had the residency that was a working space, and I've also been in gallery spaces. And sometimes as an artist you have a project or you have works where you can only kind of put them in one or two kinds of spaces. It's not that flexible, but this project's been a real kind of hit the ground running, how can I adapt it to all these individual spaces. And so yeah, that residency was really good in guiding the project to where it is now.
Speaking of the project where it is now, the current exhibit, Writer's Reign, as I mentioned before, makes extensive use of chalkboards, these stark geometrical animations which are put on TVs, and these massive digital prints featuring this very glitchy look as though the computer's kind of been through it itself. What about that glitchy aesthetic appeals to you?
Oh, it just visually shows the process of trauma and mental health distress. And I was actually having a conversation with someone the other day, because I have a lot of personal connection and history to all those, you know, mental health distress and, you know, sexual violence and all that sort of stuff. And it's like it always gets given a real monotone or monochromatic palette, like, oh, we'll just put something in black, because that sort of shows that, like, I'm feeling really depressed.
I'm feeling sad.
Yeah.
And I'm sad.
It's way more complex than that.
Totally. So, it's a whole range of emotions.
Yeah. So I've kind of done the reverse. I've kind of inundated the space with heaps of colour and heaps of patterns so that you're feeling visually overwhelmed.
It works.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love how you've also spray painted, or maybe not spray painted, but you've painted these pill tablets gold, and they look like transistors.
Yeah, it was there was a work called Good as Gold, like that kind of fake looking, yucky kind of gold to elevate something to make it seem more precious.
Yeah.
And it was just a diary of like a way to mark out a period of time. Yeah, I get a bit of OCD around like, oh, how can I represent this kind of thing, like time? And that's something that's quite present in this exhibition that's on display at the moment.
Speaking of, again, the central chalkboard of in the main room for this exhibit reads, "You are invited to erase these works, but these are personal histories, so think about it." Has anything been erased yet?
A little bit. And then I went in and someone had taken I've got this really big puzzle, which people can try and figure out, because again, like mental health distress and trauma is like, there's sort of a therapeutic thing where they get you to try and piece together fragments. Everything's mixed up and confused, and to make your own narrative. And that's what these works visually do. And so the puzzle, I'm sort of encouraging people to take the artwork right off the wall. So it's quite big. It's sort of about 30, 35 pieces.
Wow.
And someone did, but then I went back in the afternoon and saw that it was put back, which was really funny. I was like, oh, were they told to put it back, or like, did they put it back on their own?
The conscience, the guilty, the guilty conscience. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is fascinating, yeah. And in some of the, in the main chalkboard, so there's that text that I mentioned before, and then there's also kind of like a real weird kind of mess of letters and stuff. And are those the histories that are inscribed on the board?
Yeah, so like I've also got this big wallpaper desk and chair.
Yes, yeah.
Thanks to Bugs Miller for helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book that I've made, a sort of a book-bound book with all the stories collected, because I had a focus group of 160 women, and so
yes,
I shared my story, they shared their stories, and then I formed this book. And it also, yeah, the big blackboard work is the stories, but all backwards and glitched, so that you're standing there and you get really frustrated because it looks familiar but you can't quite figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's like mental health distress and trauma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely very thematic, very connected. A lot of interlacing tissue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I
cool.
try. Yeah.
You try and you succeed.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got an exam on tomorrow, and then the I guess closing ceremony is happening at like what, 6?
Yeah. So doors open at 5:30. Uh-huh. Runs till sort of 7:30. So it's you know, low key chill vibes. Mm-hmm. Come and go as you please.
And there's a band playing. Got the entire
the
alphabet
entire
playing.
Really, really lucky to have those lads come on board. And so they'll be playing from 6.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so tight. That's so cool.
So good.
We're going to play some of their music very shortly, but I do want to know, after this Masters, what is your, what have you got maybe penned in for the future?
Yeah, two things. Probably like maybe an international artist residency would be cool. But I'm actually trying to move into big scale public work, so on a wallpaper building. Christo vibes. But I need an art patron because everybody needs money. So if you're out there and you're listening, feel free to get in touch.
Feel free to get in touch with Jess Coville, 027. I'm sorry, Maggie Coville.
That's alright.
My goodness, Maggie Coville.
It's all good.
There's
all
two
good.
Covilles
sister,
in my orbit.
Hi Jess, hope you're having a good day.
Take care, Jess. Well, thank you for coming on the program, Maggie. It was fantastic talking to you.
No worries, thanks for reaching out.
Of course.
It's great to be here. Yeah.
Oh, of course, man. It's cool.
And come to the gig. You'll love it. And also special thanks to Emerson's for sponsoring. Like, awesome to have a local sort of iconic business come on board and be like real supportive of the project. So
yeah.
Thanks, Emerson's.
Yeah, big thanks to them. Thank you for you to coming on for coming on the program today.
No
it was
worries.
Great. Of course, of course.
Cool.
Awesome. That was Maggie Coville chatting about the exhibit Writer's Reign, which is at the Dean School of Art right now. And this was going to be having a big closing ceremony on tomorrow at 5:30 onwards to like 7:30-ish. It's going to be great. Here is the entire alphabet with Afrocube, because they're playing at that gig. And then after that, maybe another song, we'll have a news update for y'all. Stay tuned.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.